Now, a complete breakdown of University of Tennessee athletics from former UT coach Doug Matthews. This is Big Orange Sunday, presented by Delta Dental, online at deltadentaltn.com.
NCAA basketball ongoing. Of course, the Vols play today, 11-10 tip. You can watch it on CBS. You can listen on 104.5 The Zone. Pregame starts right here on The Zone at 10:30. Bill Justice will join us in the next segment. We'll do a short first segment looking at spring practice. Tennessee five practices under their belt. Come back. They were off all last week, of course, with spring break. Number six starts this week. They'll have four this week, as a matter of fact. We'll take a look at the job, J-O-B, what you're hired to do as a coach in college football. We'll look at what a coach's job is in spring practice. It is different than it is in the fall, from the head coach all the way down to the position coaches. We will discuss those. We'll take a look at those today and talk about where Tennessee is five practices into spring. A couple of things to talk about off the field. If you've been following the situation of waivers for players to come and be eligible immediately, that's been a big push by the NCAA. The regulation was passed last year to give young men opportunities instead of having to sit out that year. Started primarily with the Mississippi group, Shea Patterson and that group that wanted to transfer. I think five of them eventually did. That's when the NCAA started relaxing the regulation, the ruling that you had to sit out a whole year. If you were an undergrad, remember there's a difference between a grad transfer that is eligible immediately if you have graduated and an undergrad that has not graduated yet. Anyway, the Tate Martell case was one that everybody's kind of been watching because you're supposed to have a compelling reason why you do not have to sit out a year. An illness in the family, distance from home, something like that. The Tate Martell situation had nothing to do with that. He was a quarterback at Ohio State who essentially was leaving, was transferring, going to the University of Miami because he wasn't going to play at Ohio State or didn't look like he was going to play. Justin Fields, of course, transferred, got a waiver from Georgia to go to Ohio State. Let's forget about the minutiae on that. How does that affect Tennessee? Tennessee has two players, one in particular, and Aubrey Solomon, who defensive lineman, defensive down lineman, that Tennessee position Tennessee needs help in immediately, and also the Gibbs youngster from Georgia, who is was a defensive back, will either be a defensive back or a wide receiver at Tennessee. What that does for Tennessee is it puts both of these young men in a really good position to get the waiver granted for them, particularly maybe Solomon a little bit more than Gibbs, simply because he was at Michigan a little bit further away. You can make an argument he wants to get back closer to home. All of these are things now that all of these young men have lawyers. So I would think, and if you've listened to what Coach Pruitt has said several times this spring, he has been, it's seemingly, staying within what he could probably say, felt pretty good about getting certainly the Solomon youngster eligible and maybe Gibbs, so we'll see. But looking right now with the Martell case, really no compelling reason for him to go down there except that he was not become eligible, except that he was not going to play at Ohio State. There probably were some other reasons that were brought out. Bottom line is this, though. Tennessee's on top of all of this. The athletic department is on top of all of it. The athletic director is on top of all of it. Just a guess here, but I think it's a pretty good guess if you look at the way that that other decisions have been made. I would say Aubrey Solomon probably will be eligible this coming year. He's there now. Gibbs is there also. Possibly him too. We'll see. It's well over 50%, about 75% now of young men who request this, get it. Not all. So anyway, we'll keep you informed on that. Spring practice. Let me just hit real quickly about a couple of things about spring practice. First off, everybody has a job on the coaching staff. The position coach, and it is different than fall, by the way. You've heard me mention this many times. Spring practice is by and large about individual improvement. Not only individual improvement by players, individual improvement by coaches. The good coaches, the best coaches, the one that get better all the time, You learn from what you've done in the past. You've learned maybe first some coaches come in. I can almost guarantee you, because it happened to me a couple of different times when I was at Tennessee, a new coordinator comes in, a new coach comes in with experience. You learn from some things they do. Maybe it's a practice tip. Maybe it's something from a technique standpoint. And I could almost guarantee you that both of the new coordinators coming in are bringing things with them that even Coach Pruitt will learn from. That's the great thing about this game. You learn things from other coaches. Jim Chaney has a wealth of knowledge. Derek Ansley has a wealth of knowledge. You would have to believe that if someone wants to learn and get better, both coaches and players on the staff, regardless of your experience, you'd have to believe that that will happen. And I think that's one thing that Coach Pruitt is on top of. But everybody has a job. What's a position coach's job? Your job is to make every player better at fundamentals, at technique, at their position. If you're a running back coach, securing the ball, body lean, running with power. If you're an offensive lineman, good balance, good base, keeping leverage, keeping square, whatever it might be, quarterbacks, all those different things. That's your job. Your job is to make every player that you have just a little bit better. And if you think about it, if every player gets a little bit better, and then that transfers over to the next part of it, what a coordinator's job is, your job is to make every group, every position group, better on your side of the ball. If you're a defensive coordinator, it's to make the defensive line better, the linebackers better, the secondary better as individuals, and more importantly, your job is to make them better as a group. It's the individual position coach's job to make them better as an individual. It is your job as a coordinator, that's where the change comes, is to make your side of the ball, the 11 players that you put out on the field, better as a group. And, of course, the head coach's job is to make sure that every position coach and coordinator is doing their job. His job in the spring is not to get a team ready. That's why the reason that you're able to do this is, of course, you're not playing any games. You're not going to probably have all your starters out there, your best players out there, the people who will be starting the next year at any one time for a myriad of reasons. Because you're not getting ready for a game, because you want to see what other individuals do. So that's your job, is to do that. And the way a practice works, just real quickly, I get asked this a lot in spring practice, is this. First off, there's a theme for the day, and almost every day, that the head coach decides on with the staff. And normally, you start a practice with whatever that theme of the day is. Maybe we're not doing a very good job of something, kicking game. We're not doing a very good job of tackling. We're not downfield blocking enough. So the theme for the day will be that, and that will be to emphasize that. That will be one of the first things that you do in practice after stretching. You kind of work your way up through a practice. Let's say it's a two-hour practice. Warm-ups first. Everybody warming up, of course. That's a little bit overrated. Most of them are warm before they get out there. Then you go to individual periods. Then you go to a group period. Things like quarterback, wide receivers, defensive line, and linebackers working together, offensive line, running backs, so on and so forth. Then you go to your team, and as you just kind of build, and you want to end on a good note of making sure that you put all of those things you've been working on together, and at the end of the day, you want to walk off that field knowing that you have accomplished, you've gotten better in the area that you are stressing that day. Pre-game meetings, pre-practice meetings, lead up to that. Here's what we're working on today. Here's what we need to get better at. Those are the things that you emphasize. And again, the one I want to continue to stress is spring practice is about individual improvement. You're not worried nearly as much or much at all, really. Yes, you want to get better as a group, but you want to make sure that they're doing the fundamental things right. If this team, and there's certain areas on this team, offensive line being one of them, if this team will get better, if every player will get better, and we have a lot of returning players. We have some players that haven't played particularly well, We have some players on the offensive line, well, the whole team for that matter. I guess every team could say this, but in the offensive line in particular, that probably haven't played to up to where they need to be playing from a talent standpoint. We talked a little bit last week. They're older now. We got, I think, what, six or seven players who this is either their third or fourth year playing the offensive line at the University of Tennessee. Normally, you get better. As Coach Pruitt said very, very, I thought, emphatically and kind of really pointed out, it's a developmental position, the offensive line. You have to develop into a good player. Many times at skill positions, yeah, you develop, but you're already at a pretty high level because it's a easier position to play from a talent standpoint. So those are some things to that we will kind of take a look at as we go through the spring on this show, talking about some of the improvement areas. If you've listened to Coach Pruitt, again, you know my feeling on listening to him. He pretty much says what he's thinking. You can kind of get the feeling he likes these first five practices on where this team is. I know that he thinks that this team is a better talented team than it showed last year. A lot of that had to do with several different things. New staff, you know, maybe not knowing exactly what players can do, individual players, and putting them in the right position. I think they've learned all of that. There's no doubt in my mind that he believes he has upgraded both his offensive staff and his defensive staff. These players are older. There's a lot of players returning. Are they all SEC players? No. Are there players that can win a lot of games at Tennessee if they're playing correctly, coached correctly, maybe to get a few bounces here and there? Yes. So those will be some of the things that we will be keeping an eye on. A couple of other things real quickly. Scheduling. I don't know if you've taken a look at the schedule lately. Tennessee, it's really a good schedule for Tennessee. Two open dates this year. One of those is between Florida and Georgia. That's games 4 and 5. Always good to have an open date between when you're playing, well, two of your three rivals in this league. Also, there's another one at the end of the year between Kentucky and Missouri. So an opportunity, we open up with three non-conference games in Florida, then an open date, then Georgia. Something that Tennessee learned a lot about last year, quite frankly, was how to use those four games and still redshirt. That's another area I think you'll see. I know they got a lot of experience in this. They gained a lot of information, gleaned a lot of information about being able to, when to play particular players at what particular time. And, of course, with the, 10 early enrollees in, and two more that maybe potentially will become eligible, that's a big deal. All right, some things we'll be looking at. Before we go to break, I want to mention two things. Two men that I knew very, very well passed away recently. Mike Cofer being one of those. When I first got to Tennessee, we had two Mike Cofers on the team. One was a tight end. One was a defensive end. One was from Atlanta, Georgia. One was from Knoxville, Tennessee, the Atlanta area. To kind of differentiate between them, they both spell their name exactly the same. We had to have something when he hollered Mike Cofer. He didn't want two guys to come running, so they got nicknames. Somebody gave them to them. I guess it was probably Bobby Jackson. Mike Stop Cofer played defense. Mike Go Cofer played offense, so stop and go. And that's what they became known as. Hey, stop, come here. Hey, go, come here. Mike Cofer passed away, had been ill for quite a while. Stop Cofer. He was an outstanding player for us. One of the guys that I try to talk about every now and then, because the early years, majors years at Tennessee, we had some outstanding players, but we didn't have a very good team. We didn't have enough of them. And some of those outstanding players, I don't believe, ever got their due, because if they had been playing with teams that were more talented, we would have heard a lot more about them. Mike Cofer was one of those players. Secondly, Fred Foster. Many of you don't know, I went to a celebration live for him yesterday. Fred Foster was a Country Music Hall of Fame member, Exclusive Club, Monument Records, someone who is a huge Tennessee fan that helped Tennessee in almost every way he possibly could. A innovator at one time, I think I'm correct on this, the largest privately owned recording label in the United States. 87 years old, lived a great life, saw a lot of great people there yesterday. So just two men, one young and one not so young, that were big keys to the University of Tennessee in a lot of ways. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Billy the Legend will join us. Going to take a look at, going to hear from what Coach Barnes had to say about today's game. We'll talk a little bit, just a little bit about the past game, and then look forward to what's going to happen today. So stay right here with us. We got another 40 minutes or so to talk NCAA basketball, Vol basketball with Bill Justice. As we go to break, let me talk to you about American Home Design. Over 40 years now, being the number one home improvement company in the whole Middle Tennessee area. Murfreesboro, Clarksville, Franklin, Spring Hill, all of it. They need people right now, quality people, to help them continue to be the number one home improvement company in the area. 615-361-6100. Ask for Anita if you are interested in looking at going to work for an outstanding company. Competitive salaries, 3 weeks paid vacation, 9 paid holidays, health insurance benefits, all the amenities that go along with that. You can also go on their website at AmericanHomeDesignJobs.com, but better yet, give them a call, 615-361-6100, and ask for Anita. Outside sales reps, lead generating reps, inside phone sales, installers, lots of different areas. They're looking for quality people at American Home Design.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And know is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Mid-South Business Furniture's move to 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13 is complete. Come by and see them for some great excess inventory deals. Also, their quick full-line office supply and furniture products can be purchased online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com. 43 years now of design, furniture, and office sales, that assures you of complete satisfaction. Stop by 1830 Air Lane Drive, Suite 13, or go online at MidSouthBusinessFurniture.com.
Mid-South Business Furniture,
Stover's liquidation with the best hardwood deal ever. Shaw Golden Opportunity Oak Hardwood. First quality, 20-year warranty, 7 great colors, 3/4 by 2 1/4, just $249 a square foot, and 3/4 by 3 1/4 wide, just $259 a square foot. The same product sells for over $4 at the big box. Nobody stocks more plank look porcelain tile than Stover's Liquidation in Antioch, Cookeville, or Knoxville, or online at StoversLiquidation.com. Check out our Facebook and Instagram only specials, Stover's.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. Mandu.com.
104.5 The Zone, now available for your Amazon Echo device. To enable, just say, Alexa, enable the 104.5 The Zone skill. Then to play us, just say, Alexa, play 104.5 The Zone. Now, Big Orange Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Double Dog's family-oriented sports bar at Hillsborough Village and Charlotte Pike.
All right, let's get right to it. Big Ten opponent Iowa. We'll discuss those in just a second. Bill, give me about a couple of minutes, though, as you learn as a player and certainly as a coach as you move forward. The last game was the last game. We're looking ahead. But Tennessee, I was looking at the stat sheet. I know you've looked at a bunch of them. The shooting of, I want to get his name exactly right here. Jordan Burns, off the chart in this thing. 36 minutes, 32 points, almost half of Colgate's points. And boy, Tennessee had a hard time slowing him down.
Yeah, as I watched it, I thought, why don't they just face guard him? and keep the ball out of his hands. Obviously, Tennessee from 1 through 7 is a more talented team, and they have one guy that's a featured scorer. I think you just kind of go, you know, face up defense, let turn my back on everybody else and don't let him get the basketball, force them to give it to somebody else. But, you know, he continued to play. I tell you, it makes you appreciate how things can go in the NCAA tournament. There have not been a lot of just blowout games. Now, having said that, the top three seeds in every bracket is still alive and still playing, and that's all you want to do. You know, Tennessee said, great, we win. We didn't blow them off the floor. We won by 7, and we're moving on. We're ready to play the next game. So that's all you do. Put it behind you and play the next one.
15 of 29, Colgate, 51.7%, 52% of threes. And, of course, most of those 15 that were made, 8 of them were made by number one, Jordan Burns, for them. All right, Bill, let's get right to today's game. Of course, again, it's 10:30, by the way, the pregame. You can hear it right here on the Zone. Bill, Rick Barnes had pulled three different clips for the Iowa preview press conference yesterday. Want to hit those and then talk about those. These are things that were important to him. Ryan, let's go with that first one. This is on the challenge of guarding 4 shooters on the Iowa roster.
Yeah, well, I mean, we played Auburn, they had 5. You know, so it's always a challenge when you have to guard the 3-point line. And then you throw the fact in that Iowa's got an inside game, too, where they, you know, they very much will play inside out. But if they get good looks at it, they're going to take it. I don't think they force a lot of threes. And, you know, the last two opponents, they were going to live on that 3-point line. I don't think Iowa feels they have to live back there. But certainly our last two opponents, have, you know, that's what they were willing to do, shoot 30, 40 threes if necessary. But, yeah, that line is there, and you've got to deal with it.
Bill, Iowa, of course, if you've watched them over the years, they've stayed very similar regardless of who the coaches are. Usually very physical inside. Obviously, they have good shooting people, very good technique. Is there a team that, from I know you haven't watched them a whole lot, that you maybe could compare Iowa to that Tennessee has played this year?
I think maybe probably Auburn, because of the same emphasis on the 3-point shot. Now, that's more and more happening in college basketball, but Auburn wins again, beats Kansas by 14, and they live and die with a 3-pointer. Iowa has got some shooters that shoot. You know, Joe Weiskamp is a 44% shooter from 3. Isaiah Moss is 42%. Those are extraordinarily good shooters from outside. So they have 4 shooters that live on the 3-point line, and Tennessee will have to guard those guys. They'll have them. They know who they are. Coach Barnes has already said that. They're going to try to up the ante by scoring on the 3-point line.
A similar team somewhat maybe to Tennessee from a makeup standpoint.
They're bigger. They've got 9 players, 6'6", or taller. So this is the two things you can say here. These are this is a team with a lot of size. It's a team that has good outside shooters. And with that size advantage, we talk about this over and over. There's a feature in the paper this morning about it. Kyle Alexander is a very big key to Tennessee, staying out of foul trouble, being the one big in there that can kind of block shots and go up and work with some of these 6'9", 6'10", 6'11 guys. The two top scorers for Iowa are 6'9 and 6'11.
Coach Barnes addressed Kyle Alexander yesterday in the press conference. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
It is important, but I think all of our frontline guys, you know, Kyle, Grant, I think Derek Walker will have to be ready to play, and John Fulkerson. But and Kyle actually did a good job yesterday. You know, he really did, and we got where we felt like we needed to go with some offense, and we went with the small lineup that's really one of our most efficient lineups. But we need Kyle. We're going to need him tomorrow, and we're expecting him to, you know, to give us a great effort and do his job.
Bill, talking about doing his job, of course, that was one of the themes today on spring practice. But doing your job, his job, I think, as we've watched, know what his job is. Not going to score a lot of points. Matter of fact, he had a couple of looked like relatively easy shots. I guess no shot is real easy. But the problem, his bugaboo has been, since he's been at Tennessee, foul trouble, and primarily in one particular area that you've discussed over and over again that has to do with the way that he uses his arms. Explain.
Well, he is a great shot blocker, and when somebody comes to the rim or they're shooting in close to the basket, instead of going straight up with that 6'11 and long reach and going straight up with his arms and making a shooter, even if he doesn't block it, the shooter has got to adjust the arc of the basketball. It's going to be very hard for him to shoot up over those arms and get the ball to come down in the basket. Instead of doing that, he has a tendency to go up and then bring his arms down, try to put the hand on the ball, maybe while it's still on the other guy's hands. If you do that, and you move that shooter at all, the referee is going to protect the shooter, and he should. I know that shooters think two things. I don't care what you do, but don't let the shot blocker, don't let the defender get to my arms and without calling a foul. So he needs to go straight up more on the shot block. That's something you coach. It's something you practice. But his habit when games are played is to come down and try to get a hand on the ball on the shot.
Heat of the moment in almost every sport, you kind of revert to kind of what you've been doing. And I think that's true in every sport, maybe true in his case. Last comment, let's take a look at what Tennessee will have to face, how they will have to execute when Tennessee has the ball.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that we flow, that we play. And yesterday, you know, they were back in there as far as you could probably go. I think that we've got to work hard at taking the slack out of it, get the ball moving, and do the things that we do. And, you know, we've been good against zones all year, really. And we just got to continue to do what we've practiced all year and the way we played. You know, we got to get our post guys working better than they did yesterday.
Bill, let's talk just about that situation. You look at Grant Williams, another low shot production from number of shots. He was 4 for 6. Kyle Alexander, 4. There's your 10. So 10 basically shots from the two big guys inside. Grant Williams did not attempt a 3-point shot, so all of them came in there. He also got to the free throw line twice. Now, let's talk about this. Tournament play, and I've heard basketball coaches say this for years, the ones that go to the tournaments quite a bit. Your regular season, you want to gain experience from the types of teams that you will be seeing once you get to the tournament. The experience this year, Tennessee has played a lot of different. They played excellent teams, a couple of one number one seed, a couple of number twos, and a 3 seed. They're off their preseason, their non-conference games. They had different styles in there. How does that? This is a veteran team, particularly the guys that have the ball in hand. You would think this is a good matchup for Tennessee from that standpoint.
But Tennessee is a very experienced team, and we talked about that with the players they had coming back. And, you know, we are, 40 games into the season almost, in the mid-30s, and they've seen most everything, and they've seen it in a conference that is very talented, very competitive. So Tennessee has played teams, you know, from Gonzaga and Kansas to Kentucky that are nationally ranked teams. They've played them all over the country. They've been doing this for the last couple of years, most of these guys, an experienced team. This is one of the things that we said we have to take with us, that we've got experience. Our guys have played together. They know what to expect from their teammates. What I would like to see, and I think Tennessee's key, is to get back to playing like Tennessee played in January.
Did they get closer to doing that 2 days ago?
I'm not sure they did. Not on a complete game. I think if they had played like they did in January, they would have gotten they got off to a good point spread and then let them come back. I think they would have increased that lead if they'd been playing as well as they played in January. When they were the number one ranked team in the country, nobody argued about how good this team was. They were proving it every time out.
We're going to take a few phone calls today for Bill, 615-737-1045. Basketball questions only, please, while we have Bill on. Let's start with Chris in Nashville. Chris, what do you got for Billy?
Good morning. Just to build on what you guys were just talking about, it seemed like in January we had a lot more flow. And I don't know if the competition is a little bit better this time of year or people are just playing harder and there's a book out on Tennessee and how to defend them, but it seems like the things that people do to us, we seem to defend the ball screens pretty well on the perimeter, but when people break us down, that's when they get good looks, and we don't seem to be breaking people down and penetrating. And, you know, Rick Barnes says the same thing every day. We're not moving well in the post. We're settling on threes. So what do we got to do to change that? Because it seems like it's recurring. And I'll just listen to your answer. Thanks.
Good points by Chris. One thing about that schedule, no, right now, up until now, the schedule has not actually gotten tougher for Tennessee, especially in the tournament here. I mean, today they're a sizable favorite. Now, the SEC tournament offered up good competition. And I think the key is inside out, and that's what Chris was talking about on how Tennessee runs their offense. And this is exactly what Coach Barnes wants. He wants them to work the ball inside and out instead of having his guards come down and never look inside and take hurried three-point shots. That is not a good offensive scheme, and Tennessee has gotten into that mode here some in February and early March. They need to get back to the way they played in January, looking inside for those players. If those guys are doubled or they're blocked out, pass it back out to the three-point line and let your outside shooters make shots. And if they do that and they make shots, they're very tough to guard.
Bill, do you read much into seemingly, and I know it's well, certainly the Colgate game, but you go back and you look at several of the late, maybe last five, six, eight games Tennessee has played, have not, from a scoring standpoint, have lost in the second half. Tennessee, 16-point lead at one point. Now, you've talked many times about how that's the way basketball is right now. Everybody goes through that period where they're not scoring. You just want to kind of limit the length of it. But the fact that Tennessee, again, has jumped out to some good leads, given them up, had to come back, and the fact that they have been outscored in the second half, anything to that you see, any particular reason?
Again, it's the inconsistency. It's not playing like you did in January, valuing every possession, guarding hard on every possession. In those instances where you have got those time periods and possessions where you go scoreless, and like we've talked about, you have it in every game, that's when your point guard and your guys running the offense have got to say, what is our very best play? All right, we've gone scoreless three times in a row, or we've gone scoreless 3.5, 4 minutes in a row. We've got to score. What do we need to do? We go inside, out, back inside, and if you don't get a shot off that's good and make it, you get a foul.
Tennessee, 13 assists, 8 turnovers. I think you are, what, 2-1, 2.5-1, good, 1.5. What's your
One and a half to one as a team is good, and we've got a point guard who operates a lot of times at 3-4 and 5-1 because he really takes care of it. So our guard play has a good assist-turnover ratio. That goes down a little bit when you get your inside guys handling it. You're always going to have probably a negative assist to turnover ATO from your fives. Tennessee doesn't have that from their 3 and 4 because those guys are pretty good perimeter players as well as inside.
You learn something every game. I think probably I know some of the people that I was watching and talking to the game about. You get into these games, same thing in football, Bill, but you wonder why in the world does Admiral Schofield keep shooting the ball? He's not on today. Well, we found out in the last couple of minutes why he kept shooting the ball.
Yeah, he's one of your shooters. You know, you cannot take the ball out of his hands. The one thing that we've heard and we see and Coach Barnes has talked about, those guys aren't what you're thinking about shooting it too early. It's been more the perimeter players who come down. Lamonte Turner in particular has had games where he really didn't look inside. He really didn't look to set people up. Very early in the shot clock, putting it up. He's a scorer. He's a shooter. He's going to keep shooting even if they're not going in, and you would want him to do that, but you would want him to play a little more of the clock in the offense to see if you can't get something before that early three-point shot.
Matt up in Cookeville for Bill Justice. Matt?
Hello, gentlemen, and good morning to you. I hope everything is going well today. You know, sitting back watching Tennessee, it seems like we struggle against the 2-3 because we settle. I noticed when they pack the inside and Grant and Admiral and even Kyle start working the inside, it's just kind of like a little bit of body contact and they go away. And Grant is so good 18 feet away from the basket because he can drive, spin, and use his body to finish at the rim. But a question to you is, and you guys just touched on it, I think we settle too much outside with a shot clock, you know, 15 to 20 seconds left on the clock, you know, Lamonte and Jordan kind of, and Jordan Bowden and Bone Bone, they kind of get the ball and they, you know, they settle for that quick jump shot, and it kind of puts us in a spot if we miss two or three of those and the other team comes down. But my question is, how do you think that they attack Iowa today, being Iowa being tall and real beefy inside? How do you think they attack Iowa? And, hey, guys, I appreciate the show. Hope you guys have a great Lord's Day and enjoy the day. Bye-bye.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that they're going to stay with game plan, and it's going to be operate inside and out. You do not want to take Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield off the board as offensive performers simply because they've got height against them. We've had that all year. We are not a tall lineup team with one guy 6'11", and you know, you got your actually two power forwards. You don't have a real big stretch four shooter. But we've played against those teams like that all year long. LSU is that way. Kentucky is that way. So we've had three games against Kentucky. They're very big. They're very big inside. They're very deep inside. They've got outside shooters. So Tennessee is very prepped to play a game like this. Iowa is a Big Ten team that had, you know, finished 10-10 in the conference. The biggest win they've had, obvious, their last one, beating Cincinnati in Columbus, Ohio. At this stage, you have got to be ready to play. If Tennessee plays January ball, I don't care who it's against. I don't care if it's Cincinnati. I don't care if it's North Carolina. They can win the game.
Tennessee's lost five games this year, three of them, LSU, Auburn, Kentucky. Well, they're all in the Sweet 16, Tennessee trying to get there today. We'll take a break, come back, more of your phone calls with Bill Justice when we come back. Double Dogs Family Restaurant, let me emphasize the family part of that. Been to the one on in Hillsborough Village many times. Did a show down there last week. If you're looking for a great place to take your family, that is a great place with great food, that is a great place with at least 30-plus TVs in all locations. You can watch almost any sporting event. Well, if it's being broadcast somewhere, you can see it. Everything that a family sports bar should be, great food, whether it be maybe you're a salad person or like me, occasionally like to eat one just so you don't get quite as many calories. Burgers, sandwiches, pizza. They got five different signature mac and cheese dishes. They got classic appetizers, five different hot dog dishes, and of course they got that famous Double Dogs milkshake. Something for everybody in the family. Excellent place to go. I was down there Thursday, and then Thursday around lunch, packed. People standing outside, of course, wanting to see the games. Belmont, lots of Belmont folks down there and other people. Stop by and see them. They got the locations in many areas throughout the South, but two right here in Nashville. Hillsborough Village, and over on Charlotte Pike. That's Double Dogs Family Restaurants.
A great home buying experience can only happen with the right financing. And that's why Wilson Bank and Trust takes so much joy in helping our neighbors with reliable, fast mortgage loans. We'll work to find the perfect loan option for you and your budget and then make things as simple as possible, from application to underwriting to closing. Come see a lender at any of our 28 full-service Wilson Bank and Trust locations in Middle Tennessee or visit wilsonbank.com. And let's find the loan you need to make that new home happen. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I don't know much about tires other than the fact that I need four of them to drive around. I do, however, know Bruce Rather at Tire World, and when my car needs tires and alignment, an oil change, or a problem diagnosed, Bruce gets a call from me. For 35-plus years, Tire World has been a staple in Rutherford County. They have locations in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Chapel Hill. So for most any kind of tires at great prices, go see Bruce at Tire World. And look them up at tireworld.us.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
104.5 The Zone's 10th Annual Sports Fest featuring the Music City Blitz is coming to Nissan Stadium Saturday, March 30th. Bring the kids for a fun-filled day with inflatables in the Wilson Bank and Trust Kids Zone. Plus the annual Busy Bee HVAC Speaker Series returns with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, Nashville SC CEO Ian Ayer, and other special guests to be announced soon. Don't miss the 10th Annual Sports Fest Saturday, March 30th at Nissan Stadium. Tickets are free thanks to Coke Orange Vanilla. Find out more at 1045thezone.com. Now, Big Orange Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice. Presented by Double Dog's family-oriented sports bar at Hillsboro Village and Charlotte Pike.
Tennessee today trying to become the fourth SEC team to get to the Sweet 16. Bill, in this position, experience means a lot. It means a whole lot. Tennessee in this exact same position, playing this, not the same opponent, but exact game last year, trying to reach the final 16, wasn't able to do that. What can you glean from that? I know that's something that coaches rarely like to talk about, bad things, things that happen badly, but they can be teaching experience. What do you suspect maybe Coach Barnes might say? Let me say this. They were obviously asked about this. The players were asked about this from the national media, in particular Tennessee media, yesterday. What's the learning experience from that, or is there one?
No, there is. And let me tell you what I think the key is. The key is that these players were all there. They went through this. It was miserable. I've heard them personally talk about how disappointed they were. We do remember that Kyle Alexander was not playing in that game. His absence obviously was a big plus for the other guys and hurt Tennessee badly, but they have carried that with them for a year. That is something that they have certainly discussed among themselves as they've gone into this tournament, and they don't want it to happen again. Tennessee is favored. If they go out and play like they're capable of playing, they should be able to advance. I still feel like their bracket is the best bracket to be in. There's no reason that they shouldn't be ready to square off if they play the next couple of games well and make it all the way in, I would think, probably to play Virginia somewhere along the line. So Tennessee's got it all out there in front of them. They know it, and I hope they play to it like they did in January.
You've watched this team play 2 years, as you mentioned, particularly this particular group of players. As Bill mentioned, they're almost all the same. Tell us about the matchup this game against Iowa. Where are the pluses for Tennessee, and then where are the pluses for Iowa matching up from the offensive end?
Well, you know, we mentioned Iowa, the fact that they've got 9 players, 6'6", or more, so they've got a distinct size advantage. Tennessee certainly has got a perimeter advantage with their three guards. If their three guards are playing well and they shoot the ball well, and like we said, they don't come down and settle early, they have a distinct advantage, I think, in the backcourt. I don't take anything away from Schofield and Williams. I don't think there's anybody on Iowa's team that is as good as those two guys, but they do have more size. They do have a lot of players. They play 10 players, double-digit minutes, so their players are going to be well-rested. Good challenge for Tennessee. Tennessee plays their best. They should take it.
Playing a lot of players, I remember back in the olden days where you only played 6 or 7 players, but everybody was doing that. But, Bill, you mentioned this so much, and this is a good time to kind of bring this thing up. With all of the delays for whatever reason in a game where you can get rest, you got the 16, 12, and 8 timeouts. You have the when they stop the clock to review things. With the training and where we are at this time of year, players really are in such good shape that being able to play, a 40-minute game is really not all that tough.
It is not, and we got to keep in mind that, you know, these are 18 to 22, 23-year-old young men who conditioning is tremendous. You got to be in great condition to play basketball because it's, you know, you don't have huddles. As long as the clock hadn't stopped, you're playing, you're moving, you're guarding, you're trying to score, you're rebounding, you're bumping into people. The game's very physical. So not to take anything away from that, these kids are in really good condition, strength and conditioning coaches. We've talked about how important they are. So it's not so much a conditioning thing as it is, you know, you're able to take advantage of those little breaches and time stops to make a substitution. Tennessee's done this very well because they're shallow. They only play seven players a lot of minutes. And they'll sneak a player in like a Derek Walker or Fulkerson or somebody to give a 2 or 3 minute time break to get to that next 4 minute mark when they call a timeout. That's very valuable in resting your best players.
I'm assuming it kind of looks like it. I think you've talked about this before. One of the assistants on the floor, on the bench, is responsible for keeping up with those minutes, isn't it? Is that more of a time thing or just from watching and seeing and I know interaction with the players that are out on the court? How do you get them rest? What's the formula for that?
That's a great thing that you bring up. That is going to come to the assistant coaches, and they keep a time on how much players have been in, and they know what each from this time, certainly at this time of the year, they know when players need a rest. They know when they can break a time break. They try to have either Grant Williams or Schofield on the floor all the time. You won't see them resting at the same time very often. You will not see Jordan Bone and Lamonte Turner out of the game at the same time. That's all manipulating the lineup, and Tennessee has got a tremendous coaching staff to take care of those things, that handle things that Rick Barnes doesn't. Same thing is true in the times that I've been with this team. When they have the film study breakdowns, and I like to be there to see them do that, that is not Coach Barnes that does that. He sits by and watches, and Rob Lanier and Desmond Oliver and Michael Schwartz go through what the other team does. They go up and do the talk and show what Tennessee's going to do offensively and defensively based on the team they're going to play. So assistant coaches, I'm sure it's the same thing in football. Assistant coaches have a huge role in preparation for these games.
Well, the saying that's become so popular that was always done without really saying it, just like in football and basketball, they all have a job to do and what they need to do their job. And somebody is responsible for keeping up with the foul situation, minute situation. And you can see you can see that's one of the things you notice in basketball you don't get to see in football because there's usually a camera pretty much on these coaches. You can see when that assistant leans over and says something, it's his job. Head coach got a lot to think about during the game, but it's more the way the game's playing, the feel for all of that, the numbers and the time and all that is an assistant coach. You can see him talking there, and almost exclusively, when you look at it, that head coach points to that guy and tells him to get in. So that's good stuff. David up in Sumner County. David?
Well, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Basketball is 10 four-minute quarters. That's all you got. And a smart basketball team will come down, they'll play hard defense, and come down and run the shot clock down and take a break while they're passing the ball around on offense and not throw them up. But basketball has become a three-point shooting game. If the team playing Kentucky yesterday had hit their threes, Kentucky would be at home today. So, but, you know, the main thing to me is if we'll pass the ball around and move the ball around, we're not going to win the game today if we don't hit some threes. It's just you got to have them. So go Vols.
Appreciate it, David.
David points out something we've talked about regularly here, Doug, and it's the reason that this game has gone so much in favor of the three-pointer, and it's the fact that it's a 33% versus 50% reward. So, and it's not that far out, and I hope they don't extend the line. They'd have to extend it a long way to keep some of these guys' shots. I mean, some of these guys now are shooting 5 and 6 feet behind the three-point line and still making a high percentage of the shots. So you got to move out. You got to guard those. You got to know who the shooters are. You got to get the ball out of their hands and do whatever it takes. Again, I say if you're playing that one guy who's getting 50% of the points and 50% of the shots up, face guard him and don't let him get the basketball. Once he gives it up, just look him in the eye and don't worry about helping off on defense. That would be my defensive strategy if you've got one guy that's hurting you from the outside.
Bill, I've mentioned this before, but just what you're talking about there, I have a grandson that's played some just local travel ball going into places. There's two big places here in Nashville where, I mean, good gosh, they have 1,000, 1,500 kids in there and games. Every one of these younger kids, and I'm starting fourth grade as young as they can get, they all know who one guy is, Steph Curry. They probably know who other basketball guys, there's LeBron James, but they all know who Steph Curry is, and they all emulate him. And I tell you, it's even at that level, you know, 12, 13, 11 years old, they shoot those threes and they make a bunch of them. Basketball has become a three-point game for a lot of people. You brought up a great point to me one time. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the air. The reason is, you know, the young people follow somebody, young kids follow somebody like that. Is they can't drive and dunk the basketball like LeBron James can. They can sit out there and dribble between their legs and behind their back and jack up threes all day long. And, boy, he's made a huge difference in the way the game's played.
It has. And, you know, the growth of a basketball player, it comes from encouragement at home and comes from encouragement in school. And it comes mainly from a young boy or young girl wanting to be out there in their driveway practicing shots. And they are going to be practicing longer shots at 10 and 12 and 13 years old. Not many can dunk, even if they put an 8-foot goal out there. So the first thing most young players do is attempt to become good shooters.
All right, last break. We'll end up the show with Bill. By the way, 10:30. Again, you can hear the pregame right here on 104.5 Zone, 11:10 tip. If you are a truck person, you are probably a Ford truck person. And if you're a Ford truck person, you unquestionably, in this area, are a mid-10 Ford truck person. Why? Because they've been around for years and years and years. The Boyd family started well over 50 years ago. And they still provide that excellence from everything from selling you a truck to servicing that truck. If you have a problem with a wreck, they can fix it at their collision center. If you need it repainted, if you had it so long like my car, they can do that also. So if you're looking for a quality company to work with in the truck business, go online at Mid-10 Trucks. Check them out at mid10trucks.com.
Looking for a wow experience in upscale dining? Welcome to Stony River Steakhouse and Grill. You know us for our certified Angus beef brand steaks, but we're much more. Stony River is a neighborhood restaurant featuring fresh seafood entrees and made from scratch cuisine, complemented by handcrafted cocktails and award-winning wine list. All this to savor in a warm, rich ambiance. Stony River Steakhouse and Grill on West End in Nashville and Galleria Boulevard in Franklin.
I love my community, and as a doting dad,
Daddy's home,
a devoted son,
there you are, Joe,
and a good neighbor,
hey man,
the people in my life are used to hearing my knock at the door, but as a law enforcement officer, I have to give news that people never expect. That's the one knock I always dread.
Booze it and lose it. A message from the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
Did you know Medicare has a co-insurance and deductibles and doesn't cover prescription drugs?
And traditional Medicare doesn't provide dental or vision coverage.
Well, that's why I have my Medicare supplement and Part D plan through Farm Bureau Health Plans.
And why I bought their Dental Vision Silver Plan.
Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans since 1947.
And because they're right here in Columbia, Tennessee, you've definitely got the home field advantage.
Farm Bureau Health has you covered at FBHealthPlans.com.
Hi, this is Todd Tressler with Tressler & Associates, here to thank everyone who has made our firm a success. We've grown from focusing on real estate to a firm of 18 concentrating on almost every aspect of the law. With deep roots in Middle Tennessee, our firm is committed to securing peace of mind for residents of our area. Because we consider ourselves a family at Tressler, we are fully committed to you and your family no matter what life throws at you. When you need help, visit TresslerAssociates.com. Tressler & Associates, securing your peace of mind.
Dave McGinnis talks Titans with you, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Catch Coach Mack exclusively on 104.5 The Zone. Now, Big Horn Sunday continues with a complete breakdown of Vols basketball from Bill Justice, presented by Double Dog's family-oriented sports bar at Hillsborough Village and Charlotte Pike.
Bill, I was thinking during the break, David was talking about four, what did he say, 10 4-minute segments and hustling up and down the court. I was amused. I thought it was funny. I thought it was great coaching. I know other people don't. But if you don't hustle up and down the court with some coaches like Tom Izzo, they let you know it pretty quickly.
I think most coaches do. Absolutely. There's none that don't.
I loved afterwards he was I didn't understand what he was saying for a second. I thought he was talking about himself. He said there, and when you get to tournament play, and he's been there as much as anybody has with great success, there are no my bads. And I thought he was talking about himself being my bad. He was talking about a player coming over there as the younger set do now and say, that was my bad. And essentially what he was saying, hey, we're in the NCAA tournament. I don't want to hear a my bad. My guess is most basketball coaches is like that. They may not do it quite as aggressively as he did, but anyway, go ahead. You had something on that?
Oh, I think that is sometimes just a player to player thing. That's not, if I'm saying that, I'm not saying it for the coach to hear. I'm telling you that it wasn't your fault the ball went off your hands, that it was a bad pass on my part. That's just part of teammanship. You know, I just think today there's a number of things that Tennessee can do to get back to where they need to be. They need to start out inside and out early. They need to engage Schofield and Williams early to get the ball into them, to get them active so that they don't end up a day where they only get four or five shots. Force the ball in there safely to those guys and engage them early. Guards need to move the ball. They need to rebound on defense. Get it to Bone quickly so he can get it down the floor. Let's beat the defense down the floor, set ourselves up for some easy shots. Kyle, no fouls early. Play with that confidence with yourself and others. This team knows full well how they can be because they have been there, and that's where they need to get back to.
Well, you said this many times, a lot of things in this term, but guards are so important, point guards in particular, but explosiveness, Tennessee looks like they have a big advantage in that. I wanted to hit just real quickly, Bill. We got about a minute here left in the show. LSU, Auburn, Kentucky, all in. Again, we talk more about this on Saturday, but just the really turnaround that's happened in this league from a basketball perspective with the win, you know, 25% of the final, the Sweet 16, the round of 16 could be SEC. Three are already in. Give me about a 30-second thought on this league right now.
SEC and ACC. You know, it's SEC closing in, trying to get to where the ACC is. Historically, that's been the best basketball league, still is. But Tennessee's made, we see this now. There's coaching turnovers already as the season ends for these SEC schools on people trying to upgrade the program, get a new coach in, get this program turned around. It's not just football anymore. The SEC has proven they can be a tremendous basketball conference. It's not just Kentucky and everybody else anymore. There's going to be 6, 7, 8 teams in the Southeastern Conference every year that's going to be competing for championships, both inside the conference and the conference tournament, and then when we get to the NCAA tournament. It's just a league that's going to continue to get better and better. I'm excited about it.
Billy, we will talk next Sunday. Thanks so much, my friend.
I hope we're still talking Tennessee moving forward.
Ryan Albanese for producing the show. Folks, thanks for being part of it. We'll see you next Sunday on Big Horn Sunday.